For October 25th, 2013, we talk about the Dark Matter controversy, continue our discussion of Grand Theft Auto V, and ask you, what are the crappiest heroes? Welcome to the 39th level. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
My name is David Minesmith.
My name is Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level, a podcast for people who, you guessed it, love video games. Thank you so much for joining me tonight, you guys. We'll notice that Ben is in good health after his bout with NyQuil last week.
Yeah. I thought he was just doing that for fun.
Yeah, no. Recreational drug use. I think we need to redefine that term. Hey, you guys, I have an announcement to make.
What's the announcement?
Do you mind if I do it at the top? I would normally do it in the ads, you know, in the ads plugs at the end, but I feel like people should know, damn it.
No, do it.
So, you've heard me grumbling for a little while about this new project that I want to do dedicated to survival horror games, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I would like to announce here on the show that it has launched. Go to duckfeed.tv/hexcrank or if you're so spooky or I believe hexcrank.com will by the time this is out redirect to that. It's also on the top nav of the site. Bunch of different ways to get there. You'll see the inaugural post to that, where I kind of lay out the mission and display the grand list of games that I intend to play for the blog / multimedia experience experiment. So not quite sure what shape or form this is going to take, but I know I'm going to play a shitload of survival horror games in the order that they came out, roughly, and talk to you about them. So go there, check it out. The list is still being solidified, so if there are any games that I have neglected to add, please let me know, either in the comments or through the email link. It's all good. I really, really want your help, such as when Dennis reminded me to add one of my favorite games to the list. You know, that kind of oversight. I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream on there. Were you being facetious when you said, I've heard people say... By people, you did know, you mean me?
It's a nice little nudge. No, I was actually thinking Game Informer did an article on it.
Yeah.
In one of their recent things. And I'm like, well, if it's that big, it's got to be in there somewhere.
Randomly, but Payday 2 actually has a reference to that, of all things.
To the short story?
Yeah.
Hmm. Weird.
The bad ending in the game where you just kind of become a slug or whatever.
Yeah, the ending of the short story.
You you wanted one of the masks is patterned on that just for no reason.
Yeah.
The other comment that I figured I'd stick to one is you mentioned in the intro how you kind of wanted to design the criteria so that Don't Starve would make the list, but Minecraft wouldn't.
Yes.
Which I thought was a really interesting delineation that got me thinking. But then I looked back at the list and I realized Don't Starve wasn't on the list.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So,
but it would have made the list if it was good enough.
Well, no, I like that game and it's intentionally designed to be unsettling. Can I lay out the criteria? Because I have spent literally, you guys, months thinking about this.
No, please do, because this is, I just for context, and I hope you don't mind if I plug this thing. Because you know that's what you're doing. I just want to tag along, but I saw you the post about it this morning before I left for work, and I was like, oh, just take a look before I leave. And then it was like, you know, 15 minutes later, and I was like, man, that was really good. And so well written. I'm excited for it, and I think the survival horror genre really lends itself to kind of analysis and conjecture in a way that most others don't. So
it's
a ripe field.
It's weird as fuck is what it is. And I like talking about things that are weird. So, thank you very much for the compliments. It's been forever since I've done any writing, actually, aside for like, you know, what I do every single day at work. Yeah. I mean, like long form, like, you know, that's, I don't know. Like I speak extemporaneously. That's how I create content. And I kind of miss that meditative side of, you know, thinking about this kind of stuff. But okay, so here are the criteria if you are thinking about what we're going to be talking about in this, and I invite you guys to participate. You know, if you would like to as well, if there's something coming up. This is a network-wide, open, free-form kind of thing. It's not entirely mine. But and by you guys, I mean, you know, you guys here on the show. Listeners, you know, if you just talk to me, you know, talk to me. But okay, so here are the...
Get at me.
Get at me. You know how holla. But yes, so the four criteria, and ideally the game that is on here would meet like 3 to 4 of the criteria, right? Number one, a deliberate attempt to scare, unsettle, or cause anxiety in or creep out the consumer. So, like, is this intentionally scary, spooky, whatever? Number two, an emphasis on atmosphere and mood over systems. By systems, I mean things like, you know, is it like a sim or blah, blah, blah? Just like atmosphere and mood over anything that is more concrete, right? Number three, must include some kind of puzzle solving and or resource management, which is a hallmark of the series. It's an and or because, you know, sometimes you're going to have something that's a straight up point and click adventure with no ammo management. Sometimes there's not going to be too many puzzles, but you are really, really trying to beat that ammo countdown clock, right? And finally, number four, story takes precedence over combat. So, yeah, it's a little bit fluid just because, you know, how do you make a project with a set of defined criteria so things are not, you know, complete chaos, but you're still able to talk about Resident Evil 6 in the same breath as I have no mouth and I must scream. Like, they're seemingly really different things, but something led from one to the other, right? And there are also situations where long-running series kind of lose their roots, specifically in that regard. And, you know, you want to look at that trajectory, right?
Well, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, that'll be an interesting way to do it, especially since you're doing it chronologically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm incredibly excited about this. I've put a lot of thought into the process. I want to involve you. I want this to be, like, the primary bastion of written content on the site, written content rather, and hopefully like more stuff will follow from that. But you know, we're branching out. It's the Empire business, baby. So
I'm in the Empire building.
Yeah. So thank you for entertaining that little bit of plug-aliciousness there. But I'm incredibly excited about it. This is something I'm passionate about, and the response has been really positive so far. So sound off in the comments, I guess. I don't know.
I've got to say,
good.
I'm really glad that Stalker and Call of Prip, that place.
Prip, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Is on there. I'm really glad that Clear Sky is not.
You know what? I own Clear Sky. It should be on the list. And I'm sorry to do this to you, but I'm going to have to put Clear Sky on the list.
Okay. I mean, I would.
All right, listeners, your objective over the next week is to inundate Cole with so many suggestions that he forgot to put on his list that he's completely overwhelmed.
No, and, please do. like I'm looking at my games for Hexcrank project at OmniFocus, and like I've got like 17 of them here, and I'm about to add like four more.
I'm just going to say, though, Clear Sky is quite possibly one of the worst games I've ever played.
Oh, wow.
I think David is asking to write the post for Clear Skies.
No, I want to have like a rebuttal or something inside of that. Yeah. Like, please do. Well,
that'd be interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's, that rebuttal assumes that I'll like it. I mean, and, you know, like, these are not all uniformly, you know, good games. Most of them are, in fact, incredibly mediocre. So,
I see The Thing is on there. So.
Yeah, no, I love The Thing. The Thing is great.
I feel like The Thing is, at least for me, was the ultimate game where, like, I loved its concept, like, really, really, really liked it. And that completely overshadowed all the failures in, mm-hmm. you know, the fact that it's actually supposed to be a game.
Yeah, that's my modus operandi from approaching, you know, most of these things. Just listen to any episode of Watch Out for Fireballs. Interesting overrides a lot of sin, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a bunch of stuff that I'm missing, especially towards like the more recent stuff. So like anything, like I don't have anything from 2013 in there when obviously like, hey, The Last of Us should be on there, which I'm going to
I thought about suggesting that. I was like, nah, is that, should
it? Yeah, it counts. It counts.
Yeah, that'll be a pleasure to play through again.
Yeah, yeah. In 5 years. No, seriously, there's like hundreds of items on this list.
Yeah, well, you mentioned in the post how that indie games are kind of creating this survival horror renaissance right now. And yeah, so there's, I'm sure there's, it's almost going to be a kind of a hockey stick chart if you look at the number of games by year.
If you look at it, like, you know, you assume, you know, okay, so, you know, survival horror, you've got your Resident Evil, your Silent Hill, most of the action is going to take place, you know, from 1996 to maybe like 2002 or something. No, not the case. Like, stuff like goes on and popping right around like 2007, 2008. Like, a good half of the list is like from then onward. So, yeah. You know, it's kind of nuts if you think about it. The side effect of this is I would also like to start a survival horror game collection. So if I can get physical copies of these things, I will attempt to do that.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
Yeah. Some of them it's going to be impossible, like Siren, Blood Curse or whatever. You know, I don't think you can get physical copies of that, but, you know, where possible.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah, so I feel like we've gone on a little bit long on that. Let me know. That was all by way of saying, you know, there are going to be blind spots. I'm interested in, like, Flash games, too. Not so much, like, you know, Screamer kind of stuff, but there are good just indie games that I'm not aware of because they're not publicized like a, you know, like a big title will be. Same thing goes for iOS games, right? Like, I've got a couple on there, but not enough. And you know about them, so I'm crowdsourcing this effort.
As a side note, I linked one that always interested me, but
can you say the name of it for me?
Because I cannot.
I'm sorry. I don't have Skype open on my main screen. I am currently main screen turn on, but
I cannot because it's a Japanese game and I have no idea how the heck that's pronounced.
I believe Aoni. It's like Aoni Wild.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Adding it to the list, man.
I was going to say one you could add to the list, Limbo.
Ah, maybe. Shit. Yeah. No, like, seriously, like, no. I have all humility in the world. Like, I've spent a great deal of time putting this together, coming up with, like doing research to see, like, what day these are actually released. Like, you look at that list, it's like, oh, Resident Evil 5, March 5th, 2009. Like, all of that's in there. Also, I have, like, original price. Like, I've gone deep dives on this. However, I know that it's incomplete knowledge, and I desperately want you guys to help. So
what we're saying is multiplayer next week.
What the fuck's wrong with Cole? So it's time for the brief where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games. Does anybody have a story they want to volunteer? Otherwise, I will say mine.
Oh.
No, go ahead.
Like,
Ben.
Sure, but...
Do it. Do it. No, Ben, go.
All right.
It's all up to you.
Might be David's, maybe. But Deus Ex released the director's cut.
Yeah, yeah. That's the Wii U one. Did they put it out on their systems?
I don't know. Perhaps I didn't read the... I think you can get it. You can get it on PC,
I believe. Yeah, they did release it on Steam. I see it on Steam here now.
So, but the interesting facet I thought about it is they revamped the boss battles.
Yeah.
So that you could approach it the three ways that they were supposed to do the first time, I imagine. Where you could do something with stealth, you could do something with, like, hacking, and you could do something with straight attack.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So, still can't talk them down, though?
I guess not. They define the quote-unquote three pillars to be those three things, I believe.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, if you're a talky guy, you're either going to have the tech or the stealth.
Yeah. That's completely reasonable. I was just kind of hoping, like, in the first game, you actually could literally talk someone to death.
It's not so much like a BioWare kind of thing, though, or a Fallout, where you can actually, like, say, well, you know, your existence is actually flawed. Like, it's actually, like, picking up what their killing word was. Lilliputian man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, it's also, like... Like you said, you're going to have the tech associated with it if you want to play that. And I think pretty early on you get, like, the pheromone reader or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is then it's essentially like a hacking thing. Where, yeah, it kind of gave it away and made it like, oh, well, it was kind of a subset of hacking at that point.
Okay, so wait, y'all played this, right? Like, I'm the only person who hasn't?
I'm stuck in China.
Okay. Focus and help.
Amazing.
You're both stuck in China?
No, yes. No. I just finished his sentence. Yeah. But, okay, I was just curious because it's very clear that I'm left out here.
Oh, you haven't played it at all?
I played like the first couple missions on a checkout from GameStop. Oh, by the way, if you buy anything from GameStop and it's open, an employee has totally fucking played that.
I think of that every time. I never buy a game from GameStop.
Can you believe this? Oh, shit, sorry. I'm a bad person.
Oh, man, mute them speakers, Doc. No, I played a couple missions of it. I may be able to, now that I'm getting this new computer, I may just like fucking download it. I don't know.
But will you play it though?
Well, yeah, that's therein lies the rub. Yeah, but they did it for like real cheap too. Like they're doing like there's something revolutionary about the pricing. Revolutionary, God. No,
if I remember correctly. What is this the one where if you already own the game, you can get it for like the director's cut for half off?
Something like that, yeah. Regardless, it's like $20, just like straight out the gate, which is that is a perfectly reasonable, anything below 20.
Totally worth.
Go ahead.
Totally worth it if you haven't played the game before.
Yeah. Anything below $20 is like below reproach. I will buy 5 things that are $19.99 with less hesitation, almost no hesitation. But the second something costs $100 or more, I will think about it for days and days.
For days and days.
I got thoughts for days.
That's one of my favorite Simpsons quotes. I haven't slept for days and days. good catch. I didn't know that about the boss fights. Were they really that bad?
They were so bad.
Part of it was you could, like, I built my character to be to be like really good at killing people, and I found them somewhat difficult just because they were very dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So for a character that didn't put any abilities in combat, they could just be like
walls.
Yeah, like to give you an idea, like the very first one, you start out standing directly in front of a dude with a chain gun. Like not kind of behind cover, just like standing next to them.
Huh.
Yeah. I think the big flaw for me was I think it was a big change in pace where, like up until the point of the boss battles, it was all about multiple ways to solve a problem. And it's like you would think that they would focus on that more so on boss battles instead of not at all. So. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it kind of betrayed the game design up until that point.
Hmm.
On the plus side, though, like what it ends up being is you buy the like exploding skin upgrade, and yeah, that.
Yeah. So there's a way around it, but you just have to.
Yeah,
know,
there's
you have
there's
to know
basically
to spec
one
for
upgrade
it.
That costs like 2 upgrade points that it's, based around, you have really limited ammo, but if you buy it just to use on bass fights.
It turns into a fishing game 3 times. It's like Sonic Adventure. What the fuck is this? Oh, man. Can I go next?
Sure.
Yeah. So, we were talking a little bit earlier about the, I guess this was off mic, as Dennis and I were deciding whether or not to buy Sir, You Are Being Hunted. I went with yes. Dennis is still undecided, however.
I went with yes.
Oh, you went with
Isn't
yes?
Isn't
that okay.
Technically survival horror?
Adding it to the list. Seriously, anytime it comes up, I'm looking at the list is just getting longer and longer. If Don't Starve counts, this definitely counts. Mm-hmm. But we were talking about kind of like what's the difference between like early access and Kickstarter and the kind of Minecraft model and paid alpha. Like, there's a bunch of weird stuff that's happening in the way the games that and the way the indie games are being funded and sold and things like that. You're never assured, it's becoming less and less likely to be that you're being assured that you are buying a complete product. However, sometimes it's not straight up put out there, right? This was the case with a game called Dark Matter, which is a game that was released by, looking here, Interwave Studios. It was released here a little while back, $15, like a side-scrolling shooter slash platformer kind of thing. Looks kind of like
slash survival horror.
Really?
Kind of, yes.
Huh.
Kind of.
You should add it to the list.
I'm going to wait till the game is finished because a bunch of people bought it and they're like trucking along, like, okay, this is good. This is worth my my $15. And then they get a little dialogue box that pops up that says, "Hey, to be continued in part two of blah blah blah." It's like, well, shit.
Yeah.
The game just like straight ends at this totally weird place. And there was an outcry. People were like, "Hey, I personally am outspoken about my opinion that any endings don't really matter. However, in this case, that's not really a conclusion. That is just stuff stopping partway through." So in response to the outcry, Steam has put a notice up saying currently there's a known issue at the end of the game. The developer is aware of the issue and they are working to on a patch as a solution. Whereas GOG just straight up done gone and took it off.
You know, I played a game that like ended at this really weird place and it was really annoying. I was kind of outraged that it stopped where it did. It was called The Walking Dead, Episode 1.
I don't know if you guys
heard of that.
It's weird that you say that because, in response to the outrage, the CEO of the studio came out and basically said, "Hey, this was meant to be an episodic game. We tried to fund it on Kickstarter, but we didn't get it there. You know, it should be a $30 game, but we're selling the first part for for $14.99. Mm-hmm. And it was like he said, "Hey, it's exactly as described on Steam, blah, blah, blah." However, the store page made no mention of the game being episodic, to which the CEO of the company was forced to concede, saying that it may cause some confusion and may not be satisfactory. saying that a more conclusive and satisfying ending is in the works, which is like, whoops, you caught me.
I really hope that, though, since they've said there's supposed to be a whole nother game to resolve everything, but they're doing a patch, I'm kind of hoping that the patch ends up being just like Deus Ex Machina, everything to fix it. And all of a sudden, Space Marines kick down the door and kill all the bad guys, and you're safe.
Oh, it turns into the end, like the back third of Adaptation. Yeah. But I'm not a big fan of caveat emptor. I think that there should really be a we need to have plenty of information in order to make good choices about the things that we buy, right? And they didn't provide good information about what was out there. And this whole thing was people like coming out and saying, "Hey, don't buy this thing because it's not exactly what it says," whether or not you value endings or not. Like, just, it's just weird. And the frustrating thing to me is there's nothing wrong with coming out and saying, "Hey, it's episodic."
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's all the rage now. Like, Telltale's been doing it for years and years, but you look at something like Kentucky Road Zero or The Silent Age, where it's like there's no guarantee when or if the next thing is coming out. You're just kind of along for the ride. Like, people will accept it if you just like say, "Hey, this is Dark Matter Part 1."
Yeah, but they didn't.
Yeah.
They apparently did on their Kickstarter.
On their Kickstarter, but now are people are actually paying real money for the thing that they ostensibly were hoping to get.
Yeah.
Which, it's not everybody can be expected if they see, like, ooh, a horror platformer. Great, I want to buy that. And then they go and get this, and then they're kind of, you know, rooked out of something. It's, you know, I can't blame people for being a little bit upset.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how long, I mean, how long was the game in, the, like, that they got? Not that hours define quality, but it wasn't like 3 hours of play and then done, right?
I've got no idea. None of the articles said what that was.
Yeah, an unfinished ending. This is probably unique to any other form of media. An unfinished ending can be certainly counted as like a strong point against, but I don't think it would by any means ruin a game that was otherwise strong.
Right. I don't know. The weird thing is, not the weird thing, but the sad thing is they've lost control of the narrative. They done fucked up by lying or by omitting something important about what they were selling, and now this will forever be that game that did that thing, no matter how good it was, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no matter how good it may or may not have been, rather. Yeah, I don't know.
It'll be like a Kingdoms of Amalur, where the story surrounding the game will always be bigger than the game itself.
Yeah, bankrupting the state of Rhode Island. 2% of the United States, you guys. Yeah.
Suck it, Rhode Island.
Suck it. Oh.
When you say it that way, that's just why I imagine just, the baseball player fellow.
Kurt Schilling.
Yeah, him just being like, ha, suck it, Rhode Island, my plan has succeeded. I don't know.
Hey, David, how about you? You got a news story?
I've got something really minor. I got a chance to try the Xbox One a little bit.
Oh, really? In what venue?
They apparently are having like a road trip. They've got some like Xbox One SUV that's, you know, going around to campuses, like old-timey medicine show style.
And step right up. Here we got the Kinect. It'll follow you where you move.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, and, you know, just kind of, you know, have a bunch of them that sort of fold out. But they had, well, what's that new fighting game?
Killer Instinct?
Yes, thank you. Killer Instinct and one of the driving games, they all kind of run together.
Yeah.
Forza.
Forza 5.
Forza Drive Crew?
I know. I. It was a game where you're in a car and you're on a track.
Where you play as the car.
Yeah, well, the game where you play as the car, that's Burnout, right?
Maybe.
There were famously no drivers. And people were like, what? Bad graphics.
But, I don't know. Like, the only thing I really could confirm is that I am incredibly bad at fighting games.
Killer Instinct probably isn't the most, like, representative sample of what fighting games are.
True. Yeah, well, I mean, I guess I don't... No, but that seems like it could be likely. But regardless, I've been bad at any fighting game I've ever played. This one, though, I barely got any attacks off. Like, I'm really, really bad at them.
Wait! Aren't all the buttons attacks?
Yeah, but
that's like your one verb.
One button is contemplate the void.
Like I said, I was trying to philosophy him to death, but yeah. The problem is that, you know, if you're doing an attack and, you know, someone else, you know, does a faster attack and hits you first, you know, that'll interrupt your attack.
Yeah.
And so I could never get around the other guy's combos.
Were you playing the computer or did you just happen to, like, come upon the Shaolin master of Killer Instinct?
Honestly, I think I just suck.
Like, well, you're honest then.
Yeah, like, but, like, on the whole, I feel like those were two really poor games to, you know, really judge the system on, just in terms of, like, neither of those are games that, you know, particularly display like next gen power in any reasonable way. Although I have to say, I mean, on the whole, the fact that the game console didn't try to mug me means that, you know, I'm impressed. You know, it's much better than their E3 performance.
Didn't try to mug you?
I'm just saying, from their performance at E3, I'm pleasantly surprised the game console didn't try to like mug me or, you know.
How did you feel about the controller?
That was actually the thing is like I wouldn't have known it was an Xbox controller.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
I feel like it's a good thing.
Yeah,
I think that's a good thing.
So there wasn't any like force feedback stuff that got shown off.
Nothing more than normal.
Yeah, Dennis, do you know that you were the inspiration for a Twitter?
I kind of thought I was. And then listening, it was confirmed to it was the Bonfire Side Chat.
Yeah, Murph Murphy from the Dork Knight has it's at bad controller op with one P at the end.
Yeah, like, well, it showed up right about the time I was spouting off about the GameCube controller, which I want to. No one will believe me now, of course, but I want to go on the record of saying I was being facetious. But
okay,
that's after listening to the Bonfire Side Chat episode. Roll. I don't think anyone will believe that.
Roll with the punches.
But so like, you know, and I interacted with that account a little bit. And I was like, oh, this is probably someone I know, but who that would be? And like, well, maybe it was just like something that existed and he kind of found me because he searches for like, you know, references to the GameCube controller for his account. And then I got a tweet that was, it's been 1 month since Dennis has been wrong about controllers. And then there was another one at 2 months. So I'm like,
they're just like straight up antagonizing you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've got to think about what my strategy is. I just need to start placing random references to controllers in places.
Yeah. No, so it's like, you know, and I kind of went to bat like on the show, like saying, you know, actually, I don't mind the GameCube controller that much.
I think like, you said like it's not Satan or something like that.
It's not, which was too strong for them. Like, you know, I wasn't defending the N-Gage or some shit. Like I was saying like, oh, it feels really good. Like as an artifact, like the contours are sensible.
What's wrong with the N-Gage?
Side talking.
I love the N-Gage.
Anyway. Okay. There you go. You're just providing more fodder.
That's right.
But
that's right.
Yeah, no, so I just pursuant to the controller discussion, I wanted to ask you if you knew that. I wanted to ask if you knew that about you.
Yeah. Like I'm gonna have to start. I guess that means I have a Twitter beef.
Yeah.
Am I feuding? Is this a feud?
I think you got beefed.
Okay. Let's you get shirts made and tattoos on your knuckles now, right? Yeah. That's the next step.
I think so. Yeah, I think you know then it's drawing lines. You know, cross this line, you don't cross. You know, like this aggression will not stand, man.
Accuse the other person, the other party involved of fronting.
Yes,
drawing a line in the sand and saying you do not cross.
Yeah, pretty much.
Good stuff. Yeah, yeah. And check it out. That is at bad controller op.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's rather amusing. Yeah. It's well done. Well done.
Yeah, if you listen to this bullshit, you're gonna love that.
Yeah,
but I guess I didn't factor in, David, that since you are so involved with campus life, that you would encounter some of these things. So
yeah, I'm interested to see you know if this is a thing that you know some of the others will do.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine, you know, probably at least like PlayStation will get here at some point.
They've set up like kiosks in different places. I know that.
Yeah, this to a large degree was what this was. It used all of my willpower though. When I got to the front of the line to not be like, wait, but this game's been played before. I can't play a used game.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, we are the music makers.
No, I think my favorite publicity stunt like this I've seen was the one they did, at least in the ads. I don't know if they actually ever did it, with what is it, a Monster Hunter?
Maybe.
Where they basically got a pickup truck and, like, you know, made a fake, like, corpse of some, like, dragon or something and, like, rigged it up, you know, like people do with, you know, when they catch a deer. And just would, like, park it on, like, college campuses and just, like, talk with people. Supposedly.
I don't know.
Oh, it was weird. You can see YouTube video of, like, their ad campaign. I don't know if it's actually a thing or if it was just their ad campaign. But at least the ads were pretty funny.
Yeah. I had a similar situation on the University of Cincinnati's campus. For those of you who do not know, we all met on, well, David and I knew each other beforehand, and Ben and Dennis knew each other beforehand, but, you know, we congregated at the University of Cincinnati, where we all attended. And so, you know, when I was at school there, the fall of 2008, I was walking by, what is it, McMicken, the Arts and Sciences building, and they had this, like, this little, like, trailer set up to demo slash display the a game called Rock Revolution. Do you guys remember this? Heard about this?
No.
Was it like the Rocksmith, only bad?
Yeah, it was terrible. This was Konami's answer to Rock Band, right?
Was this the one without controllers?
Kind of. It didn't have too much of a controller, and it had a drum set that was like a flat surface that had, like, triangles and half circles and shit. It was like, okay, you know, like, I just kind of like, this is interesting. I'm a fan of Rock Band, and, you know, I was like, okay, let me, you know, I've got, you know, 10 minutes to kill. I'll hop up here, and I played maybe like four bars into All My Life by Foo Fighters. You know, like, it's not the best song by that band, but it's on there, and I like the Foo Fighters, and it was so bad. Like, the interface was so unintuitive that, like, in the middle of this song, I was like, ah, sorry guys, I gotta go to class. And I abandoned it. I left. I was, like, in front of, like, 10 people. It was the most depressing thing in the entire world. And this is like when, like, Rock Band 2 was coming out and perfecting the form, and they're trying to pull this bullshit.
Posers.
Kind of. I don't know. So yeah. Let's see here, Dennis. You're gonna round us out, right?
Yeah. So I have two. So first off, in the spirit of just bringing to attention cool games that are coming up. And also in the spirit of explaining what was on my speakers earlier, because I feel like I need to do penance for that. There's a game coming out. It's on Steam Greenlight right now called Rollers of the Realm. And I tweeted about it. I don't know if you guys have heard of this at all, but it's an RPG pinball game.
Finally, the worlds collide.
Absolutely. Like, I am a sucker for pinball games. And this, you know, this doesn't make any claims of being, like, you know, one of those hardcore, like, pinball sims where all the physics are fine-tuned and tuned. Yeah. It's a, you know, the mummy-themed pinball table.
I'd play that. Yeah. With Brendan Fraser and The Rock.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, so it's, it, you know, it's kind of arcadey. But the idea is that the pinballs that you use are different characters. And that they all have different kind of benefits and drawbacks to them. Yeah, like, and you kind of build your party by doing kind of a multi-ball style thing where you've got, you know, multiple of them going at once, trying to hit enemies and, you know, accomplish objectives through use of kind of a pinball table format.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. And especially for someone who likes pinball, that's awesome to see. And I would love to see it get greenlit. So
can you repeat the name of this thing for me?
It's called Rollers of the Realm. And I put a link to their Steam page on the robot.
That link went to Gone Home. Just so you know. I can look it up later. Don't
worry.
Yeah,
I'm now much less confused.
Okay. No,
yeah. No, I'll look it up, but don't worry.
Yeah,
I have to say, though, I really hope that the cleric pinball is called the Holy Roller.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. I think they'll be prosecuted if they aren't.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a cool thing to keep an eye out for, and I'll get a link to you somehow that we can put in the show notes that people can go vote for it if they are so inclined. The other one, this is just a quickie. In the spirit of this podcast being also an ongoing arachnophobia support group,
okay.
There's a kind of a cool story about, I guess there's a character in Dota 2, called the Broodmother, which is basically a big spider.
Right.
And there was someone who, had arachnophobia really bad and was talking about, I have trouble cause I leave matches if I see this thing and that, hurts my rating and blah, blah, blah. Does anyone know of mods? And mostly people just made fun of him, but some dude who had some experience went in and actually put a different skin on the character, which is really cool. And kind of using your programming knowledge to do good in the world, versus, just mess with games. So he kind of made the mod and made it available for everyone to download and enabled this person with arachnophobia to continue enjoying a game.
Nice.
Which is a cool thing.
Yeah, and it's good that Valve allowed that, made it open to that degree that it, was able to happen.
Yeah, so Valve and PC modding, and then of course arachnophobia. David, I figured this was the perfect story for you.
Yes,
it is happening. Yeah.
But I think you guys have talked about, you and you guys being Cole and Gary have talked about before how, it's really cool when you see people, modding a game. Here goes my voice. Modding a game to kind of do good or to do interesting things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Versus just to, mess with other people or troll other people. And this was a good example of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been harping on accessibility for literally years, and to call this accessibility, it gets a little bit into Tumblr social justice warrior kind of area, what about the fact that all of them have design? It's like whatever, it's like okay, somebody is afraid of spiders, probably not as big of a deal as like adding a colorblind mode. What's that?
I mean, true arachnophobia is a truly.
I'm sorry. I'm going to offend people with that, and I apologize.
Sure.
where's my mod that makes everything happen at right angles?
Okay. I understand.
Yeah. No. And dude, I'm really sorry if what I said was insensitive.
I'm just saying. I don't have arachnophobia. Mm-hmm. I dislike spiders. Someone who truly has arachnophobia won't leave their house because they, are afraid of spiders.
Yeah. Yeah. And that fucking sucks. Everybody deserves a better life.
True. And, yeah. No. Sorry. Random side note.
and it's all cool. Just somebody decides, hey, I'll do something nice for people. Just like that Skyrim mod that we reference about 7 times an episode that replaces all spiders with bears, which really would make the game more scary for me. So
I really want to see a bear descend down from a web, though.
Yeah.
it's a circus bear. It came from the circus. Yeah. It can do stuff like that.
Man, one of my recurring kind of Twilight Zone nightmare kind of things, not like the show, but like that area between sleep and wake, or wake and sleep, as I'm falling asleep, it's kind of like I'll just be thinking of something and then just kind of like I will immediately feel like I am tangled up in spider webs.
Mm.
Like, and I'm not even really scared of spiders, but it's like in my head I'm so convinced that like I've got spider webs that are full of horrible spiders just on every inch of my body, and like I will wake up, two rooms over or in the kitchen, walking around, slapping at my arms, trying to get these spider webs off of me.
No way.
Yeah, no, it's fucking horrifying. And I'm not even scared of spiders, he said, not realizing that that is probably an incorrect statement.
I just feel like this story is good, and sometimes I'm covered in blood.
Yeah, I know.
It's not even my own blood.
And I know that it's just the weird stuff that happens when your mind is going from being completely alert to, shutting down. you know, for the night, like, just weird stuff happens to your body when that goes. And it's probably some weird, like, skin tingling thing that I'm internalizing in a strange way. And also revealing too much on a podcast. Do you guys want to talk about games we've been playing?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, I've had that, like, you get tangled in the sheets. And I've had that happen to me a lot of times where you get a dream where you're like, you know, you're trying to run away or can't, or you're tangled up in something. It's purely because your sheets are constraining your motion.
Yeah.
I've had that. Do you have a history of sleepwalking, or is that a new thing?
No. Like, and it's not even like sleepwalking. It's like I've gotten up and moved so fast that by the time I like my conscious mind is caught up with where my physical body is at, it's like, oh, like I was just panicked and I'm over here now, as opposed to, like, you know, I wake up and I'm, you know, preparing a 5-course dinner or something, you know. But yeah, sleep paralysis.
Call me if that happens.
Yeah, no, sleep paralysis is a bitch. It's,
sure, so. What you been playing in stiff?
The grind.
Yeah, so it's time for the grind, where we talk about games we've been playing in stiff, as the Swedish say. you guys mind if I go?
Go for it.
Cool. So I finished up Beyond Two Souls.
Wow. Oh,
nice. Yeah, that's relative. It's like an 11-hour game or something. You know, I was I was most of the way done with it the last time we convened. Okay. I think on the balance, it's really good. And really good in kind of a tempered way. Not, you know, like, holy shit, you guys have to play this. You know, if you're not a fan of David Cage, you're probably not going to like this. But you know, it doesn't succumb to the bullshit as soon as some of his other stuff does. You know, like the last couple chapters, kind of some bullshit. However, it continues being interesting through that, and I think that on the balance, I like it. Yes, I like it versus it's good. I know that I conflate those two things. You know, just like my part of me reaching maturity is realizing something doesn't suck. It's just not for me. And also, something isn't the greatest thing ever. I just really happen to like it. And though there is a distinction between those two things, however much my language makes people believe that that is not the case. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah,
I think. I haven't played any of these games, but from what you describe, I feel like the guy who's making these is he like just like the inverse M. Night Shyamalan or something? Like just
inverse?
Yeah.
What?
Inverse.
You know, in terms of like M. Night Shyamalan, you know, the first couple of his movies were like, you know, plot twist, but they're minor at the end and all right. And then, like, the more movies he makes, it's just the less he has control of his plot twist, whereas this guy, it seems like it's the opposite.
I feel like he's definitely getting better. I feel like this is, I tweeted about this after I finished it, but, you know, this is them finally catching what they're chasing after. You know, sure. Like, and whether or not that's a good thing depends on whether you like what they're chasing after, which is, this is more of a movie than a game.
So this is
more interactive than the previous ones. However, it is that presentation, right? Go ahead, Dennis.
So you think that they would say that we've achieved exactly what they were going for, and whether or not that is good is up for debate. But you think that this is a fully realized vision, and it's not, there are no compromises due to constraints or limitations.
That's how I feel. In the last couple chapters, there are a couple of breakdowns in motivation. And it feels like they're just trying to accelerate stuff to try and get to a climax that rightfully shouldn't exist. Which is a weird thing to say, but it's just kind of like they wanted to do this thing and they weren't quite sure how to get there in a way that would be entirely satisfying. And I'm willing to extend a certain amount of grace over top of that in order to say, like, okay, fine, whatever, I can forgive this because of the cool stuff that came, you know, that came before that. However, I think that the axiom that needs to be taken away is that, you know, a story generally is only as good as how small it stays. And the story of this character, of Jody and her relationship to Aiden, like, that is the centerpiece to this. And the amount of time that they spend on it is really cool. Like, you know, when they keep it in human terms, as human as this weird supernatural element can be. And when they try and make it bigger, and granted, they introduced the stupid stuff earlier, and they make it more just kind of like, okay, here's how the world is. So it's like, okay, it's not coming out of nowhere. It's not hitting me over the back of the head like Indigo Prophecy does. But still, regardless of that, that is an area where stuff gets a little bit dumb. And, you know, they should just kind of learn from that. And this is an instance where Heavy Rain actually did succeed just because it did stay so small, mm-hmm. right? Whereas this one doesn't, even though it, like, presentation standpoint, it's not, it is so far beyond that, right?
So if you had to pick one or the other, so Indigo Prophecy, clearly number three out of ranking 1, 2, 3, but Heavy Rain versus Beyond Two Souls, now that you've gone all the way through both of them, how would you rank them?
I like the subject matter of Heavy Rain more, but I like the gameplay of Beyond Two Souls more.
You love all your children.
A little bit, yeah. And like, and I would even say, like, Indigo Prophecy is important historically, right? Like, this was it's the kickoff to this. I know they did Omicron before this, blah blah blah. However, like, you know, there is so much to recommend the first 30 minutes of Indigo Prophecy. that no matter how the last, you know, 11 and a half hours turned out, just play the demo of Indigo Prophecy and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just kind of like, if it sounds like I'm equivocating, it's just, you can like different things about different things, and it's not dissonance. I don't think.
No.
Yeah.
Well, good. I mean, I'm glad you enjoyed it. And it sounds like confirms my excitement to eventually try it.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to borrow it or just, you know, steal it under the, cover of night. Drunk. Yeah. No, I was thinking about this. I was like, you know, Dennis would probably benefit from this. You know, like it seems like a kind of thing that you would at least like to give a chance to. So I extend that offer to you.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Especially given my track record with your games.
Yeah, I know. Right.
David and I, separate conversation earlier in the week, we're talking about how, you know, rating systems and attaching a number to a game is really kind of a tough thing to do. And that kind of some sort of, like buy it, rent it, ignore it type of hierarchy.
So this one used to do.
So this is like a solid rent it.
Yeah, I'd say cool. That. I mean, just even from the, you know, it's a solid weekend. Like, if you're not like me and you can actually focus on something for more than, you know, 20 goddamn minutes, you child, then like, is you'd have no problem getting through it. And just kind of the whole assigning scores thing, you know, just when I tweeted like, hey, I, you know, on the, you know, on the balance, I dug this thing, people came back and were like, oh, you know, it's really divisive and blah, blah, blah. You know, just you occasionally have to try something that's divisive, and you know, maybe it will tell you a little bit about who you're listening to, because all of this is ultimately subjective to a certain degree. You know, the one of the tipping points for me in deciding to buy it at full price was that, even, you know, no matter how middling some of the reviews were, Justin McElroy from Polygon in the Besties and all of those shows, he gave it like an 8 out of 10. And his review was like, hey, you know, some of it's some bullshit, but like, there's a lot to recommend. And I was like, oh, I really trust what you're saying, because like, I know that you tend to like a lot of the things that I like. And so that should speak more, which is listen to the people you trust. Hopefully, you know, some of those people that you trust are us, but if not, listen to somebody else. But yeah.
And side note, don't trust us.
Oh God, no. That's the worst idea. any other questions about Beyond Two Souls? I think this is going to wrap up my discussion of it. It's it's a shame, like, they continue to do really neat stuff with the ghost mechanic, you know, controlling Aiden himself, but I don't want to give too
do
much
kids
up.
Continue to be hurt in the game.
What, I'm trying to think of specific instances. I can't think of any other places where you, as a ghost, torture teenagers.
I'm out.
Out. Yeah. Can I tell you about the other thing I'm playing?
Yes.
Just one thing. Is it a survival horror game? It's got ghosts.
I'm on the fence. I was thinking about this as I was playing it.
Beyond Two Souls?
It's a solid maybe. I don't know.
Does it focus on combat?
No. There are a couple of places where combat is a thing.
There's no way Beyond Two Souls is a horror game.
It is. There are some places in it that are genuinely spooky. Like, I had to take a break between chapters.
Huh.
Not like spooky, like a dancing, rattly skeleton. But
I'm glad that was the first thing you thought of, too.
Yeah. No, but, like, there's some places in it that are just kind of like, whoa, I didn't expect that. Yeah, I don't know. It's a solid maybe. I'm going to put it on the list for consideration. And by the time it gets around, you know, it'll probably be part of the canon or who knows. But yeah. Like with these recent ones, I just know that it's so far out that I can put it on there with impunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the other game I've been playing, which is Grand Theft Auto V.
Did you buy that this week?
I bought it at the same time I bought Beyond.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And
we talk about this last week? Was I NyQuil passed out for this?
I think I said it. I think I said, like, hey, I went and bought these two things, and I wanted to play the one because it would be shorter.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. No. So, Grand Theft Auto, it's real good. It's exceeded my expectations in every single regard.
Yay.
Yeah. The shooting feels great. The driving feels great. I like the story a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like at least the initial motivating factor for why you do the first job feels like the Big Lebowski to me in that it is completely inane and based around a misunderstanding, and it lands you into a world of shit that is far bigger than any of you could have imagined. The heist missions kind of feel like Shadowrun kind of scenarios, which is like you're planning it and each person has their role. And kind of like the miniature scenarios that you're put in where you have to pick, like, okay, who's this? Who should be our hacker? And then making that decision. And do we go in loud or do we go in quiet? And the missions that, you know, kind of that entails in order to get things set up. Like, I don't know that I could have been any happier with the way that they chose to do, you know, to do those 10 post missions. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really great, just because it is far more considered, and it gives you, you know, I think a degree of choice in the main narrative that you didn't see a lot before, which is especially jarring given how much the game kind of is about, like, oh, it's what you decide to make it kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I've only done the first heist so far, and I recently unlocked and did all of the starting quests for your third protagonist, who might be one of my favorite characters in a game ever.
Is that the Canadian?
Yeah, don't call him a Canadian. He was born so close to the border that it doesn't matter, and he will fuck your shit. Sometimes literally, most of the times it's just shooting you and setting you on fire.
Oh god.
Yeah. So Trevor is basically chaotic neutral, the person. Yeah, like it just like he just looks like he smells terrible, like he's got like a meth scarred face, and you know, like his introduction, you know, this the kind of spoilers because it's like
don't,
8 hours into
don't
the game.
Say
no.
It don't say it
no okay
yeah
but like his whole thing is like he's the character who starts out in the sticks in like the trailer park kind of thing, and you know,
so you can relate.
I would
a little
just
bit,
say
yeah.
That.
I did grow up in a trailer park, Dennis. Do you want to call attention to that?
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. Continue, Ben.
I was going to say, I would say his introductory mission just serves as a metaphor that they have passed the torch from Grand Theft Auto 4 to Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yes, they have. Yeah. And, you know, like he narratively is the person, like he embodies the way that a lot of people play Grand Theft Auto, which is
exactly.
As a force of nature, you know?
Yeah.
Like when you switch to his character, the cool thing is, like, if you go a while without playing a character and you switch to them, you'll catch them in the middle of some kind of like cutscene, and it's like you'll switch to Trevor and he's just under the docks having tied somebody to a post saying, next time you'll think before you fuck with me, and then he just walks away like it's nothing. And his line delivery is so great too. He's like a combination between Jack Nicholson and what's his name, Frank Booth from Blue Velvet, the Dennis Hopper character. But his voice actor sounds like James Woods. It's like crazy.
Huh.
Like I love his delivery so much. And his missions are really fun too, because like he's the one who flies.
Mm-hmm.
So that's neat as well. But you know, he spends time like out in the sticks, and you're doing this kind of like crazy off-road things, and I'm finding myself like gravitating towards the subject matter. Like it's so weird. I hesitate to call it, you know, to call it a guilty pleasure, but I like, oh god, what's his name, the urban gentleman,
Franklin.
I like Franklin.
since he has the same name as the puppet and the character from Sesame Street.
Yes. Okay. I like Franklin stuff just because it is kind of the San Andreas, you know, gang related stuff. And, you know, the music that turns on when he gets into his vehicles is genuinely really great. And he's the driver, and I like the driving stuff, even though I wouldn't normally gravitate towards like, oh, these are gangbangers dropping N-bombs every other word, you know. It's kind of like, oh, you know, like I wouldn't expect to enjoy this as much, just, you know, from a subject matter standpoint, not because I don't like black people, but just because, you know, blah. But like I dig that stuff because I like that tone, and I really like Trevor's stuff because it is like juggalos and rednecks and meth heads and this really dysfunctional kind of shit. And then just like I like Michael's stuff because it is like, oh, this is Henry Hill, like between good. This is Henry Hill between Goodfellas and My Blue Heaven, right? Like, nice. Like he even looks like Ray Liotta, you know. It's and you know, the like his stuff is all about like, you'll just get calls from his kids, and it's like, oh, he's a dad. This is crazy. Like the way that they do it, like that's far better than like Nico, my cousin, you know, help my cab business, like. Like, all of them have this, like, weird texture, and the fact that their lives go on when you're not directly inhabiting their head is real cool, I think.
Right? So, I would like to make a comment that had they done Nika's story, like, Cart Life was executed, that would have been a phenomenal game.
Oh, yeah. Just kind of like, oh, you actually have bills that you need to pay or something, or, yeah, definitely. Like, if Nico was included in this as, you know, like DLC, not DLC, but included, you know, from the beginning as, you know, here's the immigrant who's trying to establish himself. Like, okay, great. And granted, I'm only like, you know, 15 hours in. I was so unproductive this weekend, man. I'm only like 15 hours in, and it could, you know, entirely go to shit, just like Grand Theft Auto 4 a little bit did, and become like, oh, mafioso, Bosch, we're Italian, blah, blah, blah. you know, but like, I don't see it going that way. Like, just recently, okay, cool. But just like, not that I dislike Italians or black people, please. But
like, listen, as Cole figures out all the ways the things he's saying could be racist.
Yeah, prejudice, please. But yeah, like, even like the little mid section twist after Trevor is revealed for, especially, you know, for Michael, because I kind of get the sense that he's still the main protagonist who's driving everything, like that's still really interesting to me, you know? So like, as they're introducing new wrinkles and whatever, I dig it.
Yeah. The narrative's much more compelling in this one. Yeah. Than in 4.
Yeah. And I like the whole insider trading thing, like the way, you know, the way that you do that, and just, you know, it's weird that the best way to get money is the semi-legal way, which is just invest it, you know, and then go kill the CEO of the competitor's company. But and then, you know, going around and buying property. That was one of my favorite parts of, you know, Vice City. Like, it's just it's a bunch of my favorite stuff about these previous games, you know.
All the comments I want to make, I will just save for a spoiler cast of the game.
OK,
so
cool. Yeah, I probably haven't gotten to the point where I would know what you're talking about either. So,
yeah, mine's all, you know, hindsight sort of discussion. So
it bugs me that Franklin's the only one who can buy the pot dispensary.
you
go up to that as Trevor thinking, okay, he's a drug dude, and then it's like only Franklin can buy this, and it's like, what? Huh. I don't feel comfortable about that.
Well, he's the one who you can smoke weed with out of the three characters.
That's true. Yeah. I don't know. Well, no. Like, are you talking about that freaks mission? Oh, we should talk about the freaks missions.
Oh no, I'm talking about like when you're at Franklin's house.
Oh really?
If you can sit and watch TV and smoke pot.
Oh yeah, kind of like with Michael, you can drink scotch. Yeah.
Yeah. And then watch old movies.
Yeah, I love that. I love how each of them has their preferred radio station. How Trevor's is, you know, like punk punk rock. And,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's all really good. I love those Freaks missions where just occasionally a question mark will pop up, and then you as that as whatever character you're playing as go up to that, and it's like just like a little random mission that you do that is like way too off the wall to be a main quest one, but it's
their
still
answer to Saints Row.
A little bit, yeah. I don't want to spoil anything, but there's one that is like straight Saints Row. Yeah. At least Saints Row 4. But yeah. I really dig it. It's good. Haven't fucked around with online, but that might be your thing, Ben.
Is that a segue?
I think it's a segue. Less of a segue when we call attention to it.
Yeah, it's not a segue otherwise. Yeah, so that's the only game that I played this week as well is Grand Theft Auto. Well, no, you played multiple things. The only game I played this week is Grand Theft Auto. I didn't play a whole lot of the multiplayer. However, I restarted a game of Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh, really?
I got into the end. I don't really know what the motivation is. It was more, I think I might want to 100% it. And so I want to gold all the missions and kind of do things in order. And by the game that I had beat it on, everything was kind of half completed. So I didn't want to go through and try and figure out what I had done and what I hadn't done, if that makes sense. It doesn't really make sense. It shouldn't make sense. But yeah, so I did that as well. So I also had a unproductive weekend. So yeah.
Oh man, that's kind of nice to know that it holds up to a second playthrough. Maybe
we'll see. Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, at least a partial one. Who knows?
Yeah, it's what's nice is you get to explore things that you didn't do the first time. So the fact that you can smoke weed and watch cartoons at Franklin's house is something I figured out the second playthrough that I didn't investigate the first one. So
yeah,
that's kind of cool. So
yep. See. Cool.
So that is all I got. I have a short one this week.
And that is perfectly understandable. Yeah. So I will ask which of the remaining two wants to go. Executive decision, Dennis. Go.
Yeah, I was gonna hop in anyway. Two games this week. First one, I just randomly, I don't know what spurred it either, was like feeling the urge to play like a fighter jet sim of some sort. So Phil Holmes recommended that I check out something from the Ace Combat series, and I had an old Ace Combat PS2 game lying around. Mm-hmm. Ace Combat 5, The Unsung War. And so I booted that up, and it was a really good time. So I just started it from the beginning, and it's a flight sim game, like mm-hmm. not a hardcore flight sim, but like an arcadey fighter jet, shoot people out of the sky with 200 missiles that you've somehow stashed on your plane type of deal. Yeah. which was really fun. It was interesting to there was an instance of how a kind of better graphics do make a difference, because with as lo-fi as PS2 is, and it's weird to say that, but it was more.
It's 15 years old, Dennis. We can say that.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, as lo-fi as it is, it was more me kind of relying on the HUD elements than anything I was actually seeing through my cockpit window. Which, is I guess the way it is when you're actually in a fighter jet, you could argue, but really that was that kind of I would have rather been trying to like watch the plane in front of me and try to, watch which way it's turning and stuff to chase it down versus just watching where the green arrow on my screen was pointing. So yeah, it was still a ton of fun to play, but. It was just interesting to me how really I was watching where the green arrow went versus anything that was actually, resembled a fighter jet. The other interesting thing was I went back and just read a bunch of reviews of old games, specifically looked up the review for this one. And I found it very interesting. First off, there is no review of a fighter pilot sim anywhere that does not mention Top Gun. That's like a mandatory for the category, I guess.
Top Gun, the film, or the NES game?
The film, like the shirtless volleyball jokes abounded.
No.
But the other interesting thing was, you know, the Unsung War game, or the, you know, the game I actually played, tries to do some interesting stuff with the story and developing characters, and like there's a real serious effort to kind of depict a nuanced story. And the review was probably 80% about the better graphics, 10% about the gameplay, and then 10% making fun of it for trying to have nuanced characters.
I mean, like, Ace Combat went and done got anime as all hell, right?
This one wasn't so anime.
Huh.
Like, yeah, I mean, it wasn't, you know, it was fictitious continents and everything, but there was nothing like, you know, oh, you know, I'm going to go do this and with my special power up or any, you know, any of that. Hmm. It was fairly realistic, at least the part of the story that I played. It was just interesting to me to see kind of how that attitude has changed. And I think has gotten better. That before it was like, hey, they're trying to do something that's serious and, you know, has a bit beyond it, or a bit of story beyond just, you know, moving you to the next level. And that was kind of laughable, in the reviews I read, whereas it was, you know, it's becoming more worthwhile and something people expect now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, good time and scratched that itch. I also started playing Bastion.
Yep. See you on Steam doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, I love the music in this game.
Yep.
And from the second it boots up, it's awesome. And I love the aesthetic in this game. Just looks absolutely beautiful. And I love the kind of thing they do with the narrator, where I almost want to liken it to the Stanley Parable, but I get the sense that the Stanley Parable is much deeper than what this does. But the narrator kind of follows along with what you're doing and will adapt what he's saying to what you actually do.
Yeah.
Which is like you're kind of being told a story at the same time as you're interacting with it.
Kind of a Sam Elliott kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, very much so.
I sincerely recommend the like buying the soundtrack off of iTunes.
Oh, it would be totally worth it.
Yeah.
Have
you gotten to the vocal track?
No, not yet.
Okay.
What's that?
I won't say anything, but I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I was going to say the cool thing was I randomly found on Twitter a link to, there was a live stream of the Bastion, like someone doing a live concert of music inspired by Bastion.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was just so I kind of tuned in and listened to that for a little bit, and it was all really good. The only thing that I hate about this game is the game. And it sucks to say it, but I just don't get the combat. Like it's awkward. It's not very much fun.
Are you playing it with the mouse and keyboard or a controller?
Yeah. Ooh, mouse and keyboard. Is that bad?
That might be an issue.
Oh, okay. That could explain a lot. That could explain a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just, it's, and maybe it's control scheme, but more, it can't decide, I guess, what mechanics are useful to you and what aren't. Like the blocking mechanic seems to be pretty central, but it's really kind of wonky and I can't get anything out of it. Whereas I want to really use the dive roll a lot, but that doesn't seem to really help me at all.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. It's great. I don't know how much more I'm going to play it just because I don't enjoy playing it.
Well, yeah, that's a pretty good reason.
Yeah, like, and it's like I want to like it so bad, but it just, everything else about it is worthwhile. So maybe if I can get my hands on it with a controller, it'd be different. But yeah. I could totally see going and buying the soundtrack. Like, that would be worthwhile.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sad to say, but, That's what I've been grinding on, as it were.
Yeah. I hear, what is it? Transistor is the bee's pajamas.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that now.
Yeah. Neat. And David, why don't you round us out?
Sure. I've actually been, crazy, crazy busy. So, I haven't played a whole lot. I've been continuing to strategically not play Neverwinter, and doing that, I'm up to level 21 actually.
Okay.
So they're, by which I mean their crafting system and getting on once every hour and pressing Control I to worship the gods gives you experience. So yeah, that's the thing. And the main thing I've been doing is I actually got back into Kingdom of Loathing again.
again.
Okay.
Again.
Go ahead.
So you know, I don't know. I feel like I've talked about it like 8 times on this podcast, but
it is a frequent area of discussion. That is perfectly fine.
Right. I found out they revamped pretty extensively the class I'm playing as, the Seal Clubber.
Mm-hmm.
So they've, I want to say, like, doubled the skills they have access to. Okay. I really like a number of them are skills that are kind of geared towards... They're not necessarily, like, optimal to, like, a high-level player that's trying to be as efficient as possible. But at the same time, they can make, like, a regular player much more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, there's one that's, like, hibernate, where basically you go to sleep for one turn and heal all your health. And so, like, you know, a high-end player would never, you know, just give up a turn. But for a low-end player, your average player being able to just not worry about healing is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, continue to be pleasantly surprised. Although I felt kind of bad. I finally left my guild that had kind of died and I was the only active member. So that was kind of depressing, but.
Hmm.
So, I'm now homeless on the streets of Loathing.
I'm sure somebody will pick you up.
Yeah, we'll see. It's actually, finding a guild in the game is actually really, really easy. So, but, and then the other thing I've done just a little bit of is Crytek's new game came out today, which is, have you seen Warface?
Oh, yeah.
No. That sounds like the dumbest thing.
Yeah. Every time I hear the name, I think of the this video. Watch it afterwards. It's worth seeing. But anyways, it's basically a free to play cooperative first person shooter that's browser based.
Okay.
Okay.
Go on.
So, you know, you load up, create an account, load up, and I don't know, I've only done like one level so far, but you know, you basically have like a group of, I think I had 3 other teammates, and you go through and shoot dudes. And I don't know, like, it's you know, it kind of comes across like, you know, kind of a little bit higher tier than, like, some of the, like, combat arms, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know, like I said, I haven't really gotten enough to really make much of an opinion on it, but it seems like kind of a cool thing.
Huh. I'm curious. I know nothing about it. How does it run being in the browser? I mean, Crytek kind of prides itself on being real high poly, being real, you know, performance based. Like, is this in that vein? Like, are they pushing what a browser can do, or is this a little bit more compromised?
Well, what it is, you know, it's a browser plugin. So, you open it up and then, like, it, you know, pushes out some application to you. I'm honestly not sure why they didn't just make it a free-to-play game.
No.
But I don't know, like, definitely for a browser-based game, the graphics and quality are really, really great. And I would say for a free-to-play first-person shooter, they're pretty great. It's obviously no, crisis or whatever.
Right.
But, you're fighting your way actually through a level. So, the levels are fairly large. I'd say I've seen at least 5, 7, something like that, enemies on a screen. So you have reasonably large, large number of characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you mentioned that it's co-op. I mean, how is there matchmaking, or is it easy to find people to play with?
Well, I only did the one, and it was like the intro level, like the initial, like basically you have to complete 2 easy co-op missions before you can actually get into the main matchmaking, and this was one of them. And so it seemed to, match me up real quick, but I don't know if that may have just been because, obviously everyone's new to it, so everyone's doing the intro missions.
Okay.
But looks like one thing I do like is that although they have some things that you can only rent in terms of equipment, most of the equipment you can actually buy permanently and appears to be reasonably priced.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
So, and then their last kind of stick seems to be you can actually customize your attachments on the fly, crisis style. They kept that. So that's kind of cool. I know. I do feel like I think we need to recognize that Warface, though, is quite possibly the worst name for a game ever.
You know, I think that they're like Swedish or something. They just may not.
Yeah,
they have a grasp.
See, my reaction when I first heard the name was like, "Oh my god, that's awesome! What a great name for a game!" And then it's like, "Yeah, it's probably just a translation issue rather than anything intentional." And I was like, "Oh, well, like,
it's not intentionally awesome; incidentally awesome."
Well, that's a. Like, that's a line. That's a bit from Full Metal Jacket, show me your Warface. Arr! But,
yeah.
Like, there's just words you don't put in a thing. Face?
Face is an inherently non-threatening word.
I guess, yeah. Huh.
Hey, you with the Warface.
Yeah, you over there. Your Warface.
I mean, the actual thing, just to make it make even less sense, is you're a member of the mercenary organization called Warface. And, you're bad guys. The bad guys are like the, like...
Peace butt.
No, it's... Peace butt. One sec, I'm looking at the Blackwood organization.
What?
Oh, Blackwater, Blackwood.
Yeah.
See, that's the one that I was wondering is, one, if it is meant to be a reference to Blackwater, but also that's just a horribly stereotypical name.
And so, like, it's kind of like me when I was at my, fantasy, my epic fiction writing workshop. Everybody criticized me for making the Evil Kingdom, for naming the Evil Kingdom Bloodstool. But, I need to stand by my guns because, there's a numerology behind that name.
I mean,
vision, damn it.
Few things are more terrifying than that.
Oh, man. Multiplayer. Now it is time for the multiplayer where we ask you to participate in a thing. Dennis, what is the question that we ask them to participate around?
Yeah, this is a special guest-submitted question by Gary Butterfield. So thank you to him. And the question is there a video game hero that you can't stand? What supposedly likable character just rubs you the wrong way?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
As a side note, can we in the show notes put in the original link he posted, because it's actually a really good discussion.
Yeah. This was spurred on by an article saying like, hey, video game heroes kind of suck most of the time.
Who, sorry, you, now I should know this off the top of my head, but what website was that on?
Blah, fuck if I know. I can't.
Credit where credit is due. Look at the show notes.
Yeah. It's from the Gameological Society. It's like an AV club kind of thing. So Gameological.com. Yep, I'll put it in there. Cool. Don't worry. So yeah, I would like Ben. Why don't you let us know?
Can I say mine first? Can I lead out? Out swinging on this one?
Do it. Going hot.
I just thought of this like literally a minute ago, but Chris Redfield from Resident Evil 5.
God damn it, Ben. I spent all weekend trying to think of this. Okay, you took mine. He does. He sucks.
He totally sucks. Like, yeah,
he's the worst. He's white bread. He's like the willowy, like white, like heroic blah. Like his traits are that he's honorable and heroic. And like
he's
in
good
six,
at
they
cutting.
Yeah, and in
also,
six, they,
also
like,
heroic blah can be a possible title contender.
Blah, I am heroic. And like in six, they tried to give him a little bit of texture, and like, oh, my squad died. Oh no, my squad. Now I'm gonna drink myself to death. Blah. And like in five, he was like, oh, Jill died. I'm motivated entirely by vengeance. But he just like fucking sucks. He's white bread, and he's motivated entirely just by being a dick.
Personally, I think he has no depth.
No, like, no, none at all. And like, and any attempt to make him have depth is just insulting. Yeah, no, like he was the absolute like low note for Resident
Let's
Evil.
Let's call him the brown note.
Yeah, and like in one and in Code Veronica, he was fine. Like, he had no texture, but there was no expectation for texture because, you know, one, just whatever. But, like, in Code Veronica, that was really about the villains, right?
Okay.
Like, okay, it's, like, whatever. And in, even in Code Veronica, it's like, hey, I'm here to rescue my sister. What of it? Cool. Great. I like that. For the time and for the time and place, it was fine. However, no. Yeah. So you took mine. Thanks.
So you're saying you don't like this character, Cole?
Yeah, I don't. Dennis, continue.
I was going to say, counterpoint, do you know anyone else who can uppercut a boulder?
Link, kind of.
If he's wearing the special gloves, anybody can uppercut a boulder. You know, like, it's definitely...
Not many people can successfully uppercut a boulder.
Yeah,
successfully.
With efficacy. Yeah. Ugh, man. Just the worst. Bro? Yeah, no, you took mine.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Why don't you read what Gary had to say, or as he goes on Facebook now, Ghastly Booterfield.
Yeah. Mr. Booterfield says, I don't think he's supposed to be
almost as good.
A little bit, yeah.
Booterbeard. Whatever. Ghastly Booterfield says, I don't think he's supposed to be likable, but he is supposed to be sympathetic. Alan Wake. All right, we said that this wasn't any spoilers.
Yeah, nice.
I fucking hate Alan Wake. You write things, so what, baby? I wanted to have turned out his wife. Wait, what? Implied it. I wanted to have it turned out that his wife left him, and he imagined the whole game. Video games are almost uniformly terrible at relationships. They give you a couple scenes of his wife that characterize why Alan is connected to her, but give you no reason. An implied why she would be into him. It's actually really subtly and deviously sexist, and it happens all the time.
Yeah. So Alan Wake is like what Jack Torrance would be if he didn't end up, you know, going nuts and killing somebody, like not meant to be empathetic at all. Like, you know, the alcoholic writer who the plot just happened to take a different turn.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he is kind of a jerk. No argument here.
I didn't think of him as an unsympathetic character, but
yeah,
you know, I played that game in like 2 or 3 days and
yeah,
never looked back.
Yeah. Like intentionally flawed. You know, or, you know, like you could argue about the intentionality, but the stuff that he's saying about like, oh, why would she be into him? You know, that's a pervasive problem throughout all of media going back to the Flintstones. So, yeah.
Word.
Hey, Dennis, why don't you read one of those off of your Facebook wall?
Yeah. So I'll just start from the top. Monsi says, Bowser. And she expands that Bowser isn't really a hero. He was just obnoxious and stomped everywhere.
He eventually became her protagonist in some of the later games, and his whole was, you know.
I think it raises an interesting point in that the mechanics of a character can go a long way to affecting your opinion of them, you know, despite anything about their actual character. So if there's, you know, if there's a character that's supposed to be likable but is completely annoying mechanically, in that they're either, in the case of Bowser, like really difficult to beat or really annoying to beat, or if it's, you know, a sidekick that just gets in the way for 90% of the time, or someone that you're constantly doing horrible escort missions with, or something of the like, an otherwise likable character, you can have that your opinion of them tarnished simply because of their mechanical shortcomings.
Yeah. And, you know, like narratively, like the cool thing about Bowser when you're able to control him or when he is a speaking character is that he, like, you know, is overcompensating for his insecurity, right? Like, just he's this weird Michael Scott-esque figure who just happens to be able to breathe fire, right?
I want to see that version of The Office.
Like a little bit. Like, I'm sure somebody's done that in Flash. That has to be a thing. Yeah, I don't know.
See, my favorite version of Bowser was the first one where it's, you know,
You just my favorite version of Bowser is what you said, but
I also could have gone with Mouser, but of Bowser was the original Mario, where it's, you know, why do I keep these axes here?
Oh man, I can never,
like,
resist a sale.
That always made my day.
Yeah. Let's see here. So Mike on Facebook goes on to say, Slippy from Star Fox 64. I used to shoot him in the beginning of each level just to avoid the "whoa, help me!"
Fair.
Straight up ice that guy. Yeah, you know, just like some are intentionally like, I've got to be bad. You know, it's annoying. I don't know that they ever intended for Slippy to be either a hero or likable. You're wrong, Mike. Oh, David, how about let's see here, Murph.
Yeah, Murph says, you know who's absolutely insufferable? This guy. He has a picture. Hope from, oh, I'm screwed.
Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah, I cannot read Roman numerals. Final Fantasy 13.
That's a tragedy. You can never figure out which Rocky movie you're watching.
Or Police Academy.
You know, it's the one where he's the underdog and he, like, fights the guy.
Yeah, it's the one with Ivan Drago. Wait a minute.
Wow. Yeah, for me, Rocky is a story of a man who is trained by a robot to defeat the Russians and then goes on to, win the title.
True.
It's the title, whatever.
Yeah.
This guy is insufferable. Hope from Final Fantasy 13. Final Fantasy 13 had a long list of things that make it terrible, but Hope is one of the top three. A pathetic kid whose solo character trait is that he's sad his mom died.
Boo hoo!
I think we were supposed to feel empathy or something, but he's basically just boring. On top of that, spoilers for whoever cares, he tries to kill another party member. Snow, another boring character, but at least he has a motorcycle.
Like the Fonz.
Because Snow has a tenuous connection to his mother's death, and is really only stopped by circumstances. This happens after they've been together for several days, game time, and he doesn't even bring it up. Later he feels bad and says he's sorry. What a fucker. I haven't played this, although I do find it funny. I feel the urge to read this entire thing and just replace the name Hope with Anakin and Final Fantasy 13 Star Wars.
A little bit.
That's funny. Yeah, good point.
I don't know.
I think a key part of what can make characters really annoying is wasted potential.
Okay.
And here there is, like, have you guys played Final Fantasy 13? I'm not sure who's
familiar with
it. I've
played, like, the first 5 hours of it.
Okay. Yeah, Hope's character could be, like, a really interesting case study in, like, you know, what happens when you have someone who doesn't have the maturity to make that good bad split, and, like, who has the ability to take revenge without really, you know, having the maturity or the nuance to understand, you know, to temper that, you know. But it's completely squandered.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know that there's any room for nuance in Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that from when I played Final Fantasy X, I would say the main character is similar to that as well. I believe it was Titus, I think, might be his name.
Titus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think those games by design just don't build for a lot of depth of character in the protagonist.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like Final Fantasy kind of has the anime effect, the Naruto effect, the every character has to have been screwed over in their childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an awesome costume.
Yeah, at least in 13, they didn't pretend that the little kid was the main character in order to sell it to the Japanese audience. Like they did with Final Fantasy XII, you know, Ash and Bosh were the main characters. But, like, no, we're just going to make you Valon. Don't worry. Yeah. I like 12 a lot, but that bugs me, you know.
Yeah.
Was 12 the first one that did the MMO style combat?
Yeah. Let's see here. Dennis, what about the Twitter fella who responded with
Phil Holmes, the one who recommended Ace Combat to me.
Oh yeah.
He said I would say the protagonist from Dead Island, but I don't think any of them are supposedly likable. Dave,
yeah.
You have some thoughts on this one?
Yes. Yes.
You do. So share them, please.
Correct.
Well, glad I called that.
No, just the big problem with the characters from Dead Island as a game is that they're trying to do the whole, like, you know, the apocalypse happens, and in order to survive, you have to, like, you know, bad stuff happens, and you have to make, like, you know, do bad things, but, you know, it's the best you could do, that sort of thing. But the problem is they don't back it up with any character development, so it just ends up being your characters are assholes. And I don't know, they're also just a little too heavy-handed to it, with just literally every single likable character in the first game dies.
Right.
Because literally every character that isn't your hero dies.
Well, yeah, it's a zombie game.
Well, but I mean, it's not like you go through a lot of trouble saving these people, and then you fly away and the island gets nuked.
Okay.
Like, it's, you know, it's not like, I don't know, I guess the whole thrust of the game is you, like, working to, you know, get to where you can get help and you'll get people evacuated, and then you pretty much just leave. So, yeah, it's really, really crap. That's on top of the whole, like, the fact that your characters semi-indirectly make light of when one of the few likable characters gets raped.
Oh, but fuck that.
It's... I will say it's basically one of the characters stupidly puts your characters at risk by being naive. The people that results in her basically some of the villains that and several of the characters they're when you finally rescue her are just angry at her for betraying them. And it's like, that's semi-understandable, but still.
Yeah.
It's still, yeah.
So, the weird thing is, you know, some characters, you know, heroes are just made to be unlikable, right? Yeah. It's intentionally so. But, like, what is the key differentiator between those people and, like, Trevor or the boss from, you know, Saints Row?
Intent, maybe?
Maybe? But, like, yeah, I don't know.
Excuse me. Sorry. Sorry. I think part of it is just quality of characters. I mean, I haven't watched this show at all because I'm a horrible person. But, you know, everything I've read of Breaking Bad says that, you know, the main character by the end of it is legitimately unlikable.
Yeah.
But he's still interesting. You know, he's still a character.
Yep.
Whereas these people, what made it so intolerable was the fact that they didn't back it up with anything.
Yeah. That makes sense to me. Looking here, what are we seeing? So I'd like to. So Ben and I have already said our thing. Dennis, what's yours?
So mine, not really a main character, but meant to be likable and winds up failing miserably, is the narrator from Little Big Planet.
Oh, Stephen Fry?
You dislike him?
Really?
Maybe, yeah. Like the,
and you played more of it than I have,
Wally,
but...
Jolly Golly Wally, and the... Now
you're just being xenophobic.
Yeah,
you're not seduced by his voice?
No, for like the first 10 minutes, maybe, but then when every... And it's especially playing, like, you know, Little Big Planet, then Little Big Planet 2, then the carding game. Like, every little thing in the game is accompanied by a five-minute snippet of him pontificating or whatever it's called that he does.
But he's British. It's what he does.
Yeah, but it's like there is 5 seconds worth of information that gets drawn out over 10 minutes in the name of cuteness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny once.
How dare they make Little Big Planet cute?
Yeah. But there's a point of diminishing returns, and it stops being cute when it's like, well, I guess I'm going to sit here and listen to this for, you know, the next hour or so. And like, yeah, it's a funny idea, and it's good that when they have to give you information, that it's in this kind of really cute, funny British voice, but that doesn't give them license to just go on and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's probably good for the first time you hear it, and like in the intro and tutorial levels of the first game. Forgivable and as you go through the rest of the first game, gets annoying on the second game, and then it's just like, really, we're still doing this by the time you get to karting. So
yeah,
that's what I came down to.
There you go. First time anybody said anything bad about Stephen Fry.
Yeah.
I mean, the man is a freaking Kentucky colonel.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yes, apparently Kentucky Colonel, sorry, I looked him up, is the highest title of honor bestowed by the Commonwealth of Kentucky. That makes my day.
Yeah. Let's see here. I'll do one more off of Facebook, and then we'll hit David and wrap it up. But Jeffrey Lawton, Geolaw himself. What?
Oh, hey.
I appreciated the joke.
Shout out to Geolaw. Today, the day we record, is actually his 2-year anniversary.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Congratulations. Yes. So Geolaw, taking a break from his anniversary, writes in to say, I think there's a case to be made for Sega CD King of Hyrule. I don't know what that is. I'm so sorry.
Me neither, actually.
Yeah. Also, Atrus from Myst is kind of a douche. Seriously, you can write complete worlds into existence, but I'm always the one who has to save your shit. Ever think of labeling the controls on your weird machines? No? And I'm the idiot for getting the white page. Why don't you have a linking book? And you act all self-righteous for how I treat the guy who tries to burn the future of your civilization? Seriously, I should have left you in the chimney. Go get some other fool to save your wife. Yeah. I don't have appropriate distance from this because I have read all 3 Myst novels and I've played every Myst game. So, yeah. Although I did back the Kickstarter for the new game from Cyan Worlds. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, Atrus is kind of a doofus, kind of a dummo in a lot of regards.
Isn't the idea behind Myst that like everyone is ultimately out to get you and like everyone is a jerk?
Not in particular. I mean, you don't encounter too terribly many people in the game. And also, what am I thinking of here? Because some of them are going to have to be villains. Yes, the ratio is probably higher than villains to regular people than you would encounter in real life. But
fair enough.
Yeah. I don't know. All that's conceit just to make the games work. Not just. If it hindered your experience, then fine. But I don't know. What are we looking at here? What is that? Something about Dune? What the fuck is this bad shit?
Wait, what?
No. Oh, it's not Sega CD, it's CDI. Yeah. I think he said something about Heroes of Hyrule. I don't know. There's a lot of like back end stuff happening that I can't really clarify. David, who do you hate?
Wow, now
how much time do we got?
Finally gave you the floor.
No, honestly, this one was really, really, really difficult for me because I feel like there's kind of that thing that you can't make a parody of an action game because trying to make this over the top action game or rather action movie, whatever. You just end up doing what Michael Bay was going to do anyways.
Okay.
I feel like I kind of have a similar thing in that I generally only play action-oriented video games. And, like, Nathan Drake is probably a completely flat, like, generic action hero. But that's basically what I was looking for from the game.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. If I had to say one, I'd probably say Kratos. I don't know how much of that is the fact that I don't like the gameplay. For me, I don't know. Can she extend it to like TV shows?
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I would say if we're extending it to TV, probably a character I really, really like and also really get annoyed by would be the Doctor from Doctor Who.
Which one?
Pretty much all of them.
Okay.
No. I've only followed the new season, but just the character is very... is a likable character. I really like the show, but will randomly do asshole things, and none of the characters call him on it. it's very similar. Very similar personality wise to like Sherlock Holmes, in terms of kind of being this arrogant, that sort of thing. The difference is that all the characters in Sherlock Holmes make it clear that they think Sherlock is an ass. But
yeah.
I feel like that's kind of a dodge the question answer, but I really couldn't think of much. I mean, I guess I did express my hatred of the characters from Dead Island.
Yeah. I think Kratos is a perfectly acceptable answer just because it's just like why are you continuing to do these things? Like you just yes, you're angry. Okay, cool. But
the game's not giving you reasons to sympathize with them.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. And the fact that it was such an irredeemably evil character, mm-hmm. And I guess the fact that, I guess a lot of what annoyed me is if you look at like a lot of the stuff, particularly for the first game where they're talking the development of, what they wanted the tone of the game to be like and stuff like that. It was all about, we feel there's a market for, more mature games, not just, this,
For God of War?
Well, and the thing is, ended up being is it was the game is basically designed around the 12-year-old, mature means arbitrarily dark and using lots of swears and boobies. And that's just something that really, really annoys me. So I think part of it is kind of I project that annoyance onto the character. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that before. Knowing that now kind of makes me hate him that much more.
Yeah, like they were all about, we need more mature gaming and not just being politically correct and stuff like that. It's like... Yeah.
Doing it wrong.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. It's an awful lot of disliking a thing.
Although I will say in the third game when he goes all like, you know, the black and red like that, those scenes are kind of cool from an aesthetic standpoint.
Yeah. Wait, what?
What's it? When like, I don't know. The games don't make enough sense for me to like know what's going on. I think he's having like dreams of guilt, or maybe he's in the afterlife or something, but it's just you know, kind of they switched to a character model where, you know, his skin is completely black, the background's completely black, and all you can see are his like red tattoos and like kind of his outline, and it's a really neat like aesthetic for that sequence.
I don't know. I've never liked Kratos.
Yeah.
Never liked that guy. He's kind of a jerk.
The only thing that could possibly save him is he's in Sony Super Smash Bros. Yeah. And if it's possible for him to QuickTime event Sly Cooper and like tear his arms off, I think I'll be forgiven.
There's your answer. You don't like Sly Cooper.
Yeah.
I and perhaps Cole dislike Sly Cooper for completely unrelated reasons.
Yeah, that's far too much to get into there.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think I've heard that story.
That's a story for another time. So why don't we wrap it up, because we are getting up there in time. Thank you, everybody, for responding. If you would like to follow along and participate, that is facebook.com/thelevelpodcast, where these go out usually on the day of. And as usual, y'all rock. So let's button it up.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't a question.
Okay. Hey, you still spoke.
The credit.
All right. So,
damn it.
All right. So I got to button this whole episode up, wrap everything. Thank you, everybody, for listening to episode number 39 of The Level. I really appreciate it. Going to keep the plugs short just because we had that long exploration of Hex Crank at the beginning. I will reiterate, check it out. That is duckfeed.tv/hexcrank, spelled just like it sounds, in order to check out the Grandmaster list and to see that when it starts up here pretty quick. Otherwise, rate us, review us on iTunes. It's been a little bit since we've got one of those. Let's see here, duckfeed.tv/tipjar. Use the Amazon link, and that helps cover things like server costs, et cetera, like us on Facebook, all of that good stuff. Other shows in the network. So let's make a quick exit here. This has been Cole Ross, at Cole Ross on Twitter.
This has been Dennis Furia, at D Furia on Twitter.
This has been David Moneysmith at Moneysmith777.
What's it on?
Online. It's online.
And Merkelizer and Twitter.
Yeah. Cool. So until next time, just play what you like. And also watch out for spooky stuff, because it's about that time. So, yeah, I've had a very Mac day. This will make David's nose bleed, but I'm so excited that I'm getting this new computer. If I mention I'm getting it, I'm so...
This is something that they like announced at the event.
Yeah. They announced the new Retinas. They're skipping Haswell processors and going straight to Crystal Well processors on the 15-inch.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Good luck with that.
Well, you know, it's got the better...
Not so much you, but the engineers.
Oh, like... you know, yeah.
Wait. So is this the iPad a machine for pigs?
No. This is the new Retina MacBook Pro.
Okay, so the Retina machine for pigs.
Yes.
There will be pigs.
There will be pigs. Oh man, that's post roll and possibly a title. I normally don't put titles in the post roll, but or pull titles from the post roll. But that right there,
excellent.